glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise His name. He's worthy tonight. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And hallelujah. It's good to be away from all the things of the world, to be in a sanctuary with God. Amen. Got a little bit of baby slobber right there, y'all. Let's go ahead and ignore that. She's laying on me there for a minute. It's good to have Brother Alexander with us again tonight. Sure appreciate our brother. All that he's done for here is at even just our church, but I know he gets around quite a bit. Just actually heard from a brother from Mike Sieverts down in Dayton, and he knew Brother Alexander as well. So sure appreciate him taking the effort to be here tonight with us. And not only help you all, but help me. That's right. It's good to have a man of God. Could have just anybody preach, but it takes a different kind of man to really let the Holy Spirit have His way. Yep. And that's why we come to the house of God. We've been looking at buildings and things, and I've been trying to keep everybody updated as much as possible. And still waiting on revelation from the Lord. I'm not saying I'm dissatisfied. I'm not in the Lord, but it's just I want that clear cut, 100%, know what we're doing kind of thing. And we go through these in life. This happens all the time. Even in our personal life, there's many times where you wake up some days and you're like, what in the world am I supposed to be doing? And God does that sometimes, let you test your faith out a little bit, see if you just do what He said, even if you don't feel good about it. Y'all going to help Brother Alexander preach tonight? I don't know. We need a little bit more of that. The nods are great. Y'all nodding great. That's wonderful. I'm not going to preach on that, but remember that Cain was from the land of Nod. So, hallelujah. We're from Glory Lane. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. But just keep that in prayer. I feel the Lord's got something for us. I just feel in general, I don't know, maybe you feel the same way, that life's about to change for all of us, I think. And we already know it's going to, because we're going to have a new president, or maybe we won't. Who knows what they're saying anymore. They're going to try to do all kinds of things. But all that happens for a reason. It's all going out for the glory of God. Nothing's out of cater. And I love being able to live life that way. That even when it looks like things don't make sense and aren't working out, if we just, you know, give our hearts to the Lord and get our minds just clear out of the way, we come around and find out there's somebody who thought all about this and made sure it happened just the way it's happening. So it's such a release to know that. Amen. Remember the ones that's had lost loved ones? I'm sure everybody in this room, I'm sure, has dealt with it at some point. It's just something, humans ain't made for that, brother, sister. So pray for each other, and pray for, like, Sister Juanita and the Sproles and all those, that God would give them comfort during this time. And keep that expectation high that we can go to a place where there is no more death. Yeah. Amen. Because that's what we're living for. Remember, I'm forgetting things, so I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything. We got prayer coming up. This will be not this Saturday, but next Saturday. I moved it to 5. Warning. Before you get here at 6, and we're almost wrapping up, I moved it to 5. Can you say amen? Amen. I will be here, Brother Andrew, a little bit before 5. Okay. Just making sure everybody heard me, so you can't blame me later when you didn't read the calendar like you were supposed to. I said, Brother Andrew, you didn't tell me. Yes, I did. It's at 5 o'clock. So be here for that, Lord willing. Each one, invite anybody that wants to come, that's fine. And then, that's what it was. Christmas morning, I got talking with my brother Stephen. And I don't know, you probably haven't read the calendar either, but it's on there. I guess his whole church is going to be gone, essentially. So he said, we're not going to have service because there's just nobody there. So I was like, well, what are you doing? And kind of joked around with him. I was like, well, he said he got to go to his in-laws for something later in the day. And I was like, well, you come preach for us. And he's like, well, how serious you are about that? And I thought for a minute, I was like, hey, that's probably a pretty good idea, you know.
Amen.
I don't know when else I'm going to be able to have you. So it worked out. So Christmas service, we are having Sunday service at the same time. Brother Stephen's going to be preaching for us. So praise the Lord for that. We haven't had him since we started. So, because he's been pastoring pretty much, well, within a year or so since we started here. So be expecting that. Amen. All right. Didn't forget anything. How many loves the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You ready to get out of your flesh and get out of the trials of life? And, you know, brothers, sisters, just look, we all tired, all right? We're all busy. We all got things. You got stuff to think about before you even get out the door hardly. Forget all that right now.
Yep.
You can't fix it. You can't do nothing about it. Right. Tell your body, too bad. We came to praise the Lord. I came to receive of God. And if you know what, you start dozing off, I'm going to tell you, you might think this is carnal, but go ahead and get him praise the Lord a little bit.
Yep.
Wake you right up. Glory to God. Well, I'll invite Brother Alexander out. Took away a few of his minutes, so I hope he looks at the clock. But no, he can preach as long as he wants. You're going to give Brother Liberty tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I apologize even for how much I've been keeping you, but I believe the Lord's having his way. Even when you watch what's been happening in everybody's life, the Word of God has always provided what we've needed to hear. So I thank Him for that. Amen. Let's just sing, Lord, Prepare Me. I think that'd be good as get ready to sing. Lord, Prepare Me. Prepare. Open your hearts now, Lord Jesus. To be a sanctuary. Oh, pure and holy. Grant it, Lord, and true, and with thanksgiving, yes, Lord, I'll be a living, hallelujah, sanctuary for you. Lord Jesus, yes.
Holy, tried and true.
We're thankful for that tonight, to be a people who God has ordained to offer spiritual sacrifice with the fruit of our lips tonight. Amen. How many you love them tonight? Amen.
Amen.
We are certainly privileged to be here with you. You can see I'm comfortable. I've settled in. I've taken my jacket off already, so we're just going to have church tonight. I didn't know Brother Stephen's going to be preaching here next month. I'll have to give him a call and give him a hard time, make sure he does a good job for you. So I'll tell him you better do a good job there. So the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, and how much better when they're even biological brothers. So I'm happy to hear about that, though. That's good, and I'm sure you'll be blessed by that. And we're thankful to be here with you tonight. And I heard Brother Andy talking about people being tired. This guy's tired, so I understand. My hair, I'm all over the place. I laid down for 5 minutes and look what happened. So, but I've been traveling and this and that. And boy, it seems like if I sit down for a minute, I fall asleep and don't even realize what's going on. I'm like an old man. So you pray for me tonight. But I tell you what, I don't want to keep you too long here, but you ever fall asleep and you're so tired, you wake up and you don't know where you're at. That's what happened to me. I laid down on the bed. I woke up, and I'm not a panicky person, but I had a sense of dread. I did not know where I was at. I woke up. I'm like, what is going on? But I heard a voice. The prophet was playing in the background. My wife had turned on Leadership 1965, and as I woke up, I heard the prophet's voice. I thought maybe I'm in the meeting, but I wasn't. But it was like being there. And I pulled it up here real quick. Brother Branham said, it was funny, when I woke up, he just started the altar call. And he said, you know, people nowadays, they don't believe in the altar call anymore, but God still moves in those things, he said. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. And he's talking about how, you know, Moses, he received the leadership of eternal life. It was more than just a thing. It was a person. I totally lost it here, but I basically told you how it goes. But I woke up and I thought, what a reassuring thing to wake up to. Amen. Yes. You know, as Christians, we go through things and we suffer things sometimes, and sometimes we don't know where we're at in life, maybe, but there's a voice there that's giving us the reassurance. So I just wanted to share that with you. I thank God the timing. It was precious to me when I was uncertain what I was even going on. So if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to read a familiar portion of scripture, and then we'll try to not keep you too long tonight. It says I have 11 pages of notes, so that's a lot for me. But like three of it's just a quote, and it's not a long quote. It just looks long on paper. So Psalm 23, familiar scripture. Pray the Lord bless you tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I didn't tell you where you are. I guess you're off flipping page. I'm sorry. Psalm 23. You ought to have this memorized by now anyway. Amen. Flipping pages. Come on. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Yeah, that's good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you tonight as you're seated. Amen. I tell you what, it's been a realization to me more, even just the last year of my life. You know what? No matter where I go, goodness and mercy, I don't have to go after them. You know, so many people are trying to obtain the goodness of God. They're trying to find mercy with God. It's following me. Amen. And I just thank God for that. Tonight I'd like to speak, taking this as a thought here, and there's a particular portion I would like to speak from. The whole thing is relevant, of course, but in the third verse, it says, he restores my soul, he leadeth. Now, he already said he leads me beside still waters, but he's also going to lead you in paths of righteousness. And he says, for his name's sake. And I'd like to take that as my thought for my text tonight. For his name's sake. Amen. Amen. And of course, David, he wrote this as a shepherd. He was familiar with what a shepherd was all about, what being a shepherd's about. And to take a thought, you know, I was listening to leadership, like I said earlier, and Brother Ben talks about two young men, two rich young men. There was a rich young ruler, and he didn't follow the Lord, but there was a young man by the name of Moses, who was also a rich young ruler. And I'd like to speak about Moses, because, you know, Moses knows something. And I tell you what, I get more sermons from Moses now that I have a son named Moses. I tell you what. But the Bible tells us about this man named Moses, and he knows a little bit about shepherding. Now, he wasn't like David. He wasn't raised that way. And I'd like to look at this for just a moment. You know, he'd been raised as a prince. He'd been raised in the household of Pharaoh. He'd been taught, the Bible tells us, in the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was a mover and a shaker. Amen. He was moving up in the world. He had good prospects, and he had a good portfolio. He diversified, and it looked like he was going to be, you know, something. Is that right? But moving up in the world and being prosperous and successful, somewhere along the way, he met some setbacks. And some of us are familiar with setbacks. Amen. Some twists and turns happen, some unexpected situations, and finally, you suddenly find yourself in a place you didn't expect to be there. Amen. As Moses was sitting there learning the wisdom of the Egyptians and planning for his future, he didn't probably realize that a couple of weeks later he was going to be on the backside of the desert. Amen. He's seen something, though. What he's seen, he was a reproach. Now, I want you to think about this. He didn't see the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, but he saw a reproach. With that reproach, when he saw, there was something in his heart. He says, you know what? I'm going to esteem this reproach greater than the riches of Egypt. All my learning and all my success and all that I've got going for me today, yet there's something in my heart that I'm going to forsake those things. Kind of like the Apostle Paul. Here's a man, he was a powerful man. He was an influential man. He was a taught man, but yet he met something. Amen. And when he met something, it changed the entire paradigm of his life. And he forsook those things which were once valuable to him. Amen. So Moses sees something, and he esteems that reproach so great, in trying to apprehend it, he loses all these other things. Amen. So now here's Moses. He finds himself like, and we're in an economy right now where people do this. They get 30, 40 years old. Maybe they got 20 years seniority in the factory, and all of a sudden they're starting over. And here's Moses at the age of 40. He'd been successful. He had all these things. And now he's starting over. Amen. He'd been in his prime. He'd been a great man. But now he's going to have to start clear back at the bottom. He was going to find a new job soon. And look, his old job didn't give him a severance package. Amen. They didn't give him a good reference. Amen. He took the first job he could find. Amen. Man, some people, you can't even do that nowadays. But Moses, he knew he had to work. Is that right? So here he is on the backside of the desert. He says, if I can find a convenience store, if I can find a Taco Bell, I'll take whatever I can find. And as he's sitting there with him, well, praise the Lord. Look, there was no openings for Egyptian princes. His skill set did not match what he needed on the backside of the desert. Amen. His credentials and his resume, well, I've got an accounting degree. I've got this. Well, we don't need that. Well, I guess I'm going to shuffle out the door. You willing to pay me $20 an hour? No. Okay, well, bye. So here he is on the backside of the desert. He had to settle. Amen, for being a shepherd, is that right?
Right.
Now, the one thing he had going for him is he made a good impression on the boss.
That's right.
Amen? That's a good idea. We can say his interview, is that right? Here's the seven daughters of Jethro, and they're at a well, amen? And I want you to think about this. Shepherds, the Bible says. Shepherds had come to take these seven daughters of Jethro, the high priest, and the seven daughters. The shepherds drove them away, but the Bible says Moses stood up for them, is that right? He stood up and he defended them, and then Moses went and drew water for the seven daughters of Jethro, is that right? Now, I think about it because we had a man in this day. We had a prophet come, and he would come and draw water from the inexhaustible fountain of life for seven church ages, seven women, is that right? And he would draw water, and what was he doing? Giving it to the church. When the shepherds, amen, when ecclesiastical systems, when the preachers, when religion had driven people away from this well of water, a prophet stood up in this generation, and he drove away the enemy. Is that right? He gave you access to water that the shepherds weren't going to let you have. Amen? I think of the prophet, and I was inspired by this. If you have the church age book, Brother Bram talks about this. He also mentions it in several sermons. Sirs, is this the sign of the end in case you don't have the church age book or something? But he mentions this, and I want to read this quote to you. Because I thought of Moses when I read this. And he says this. He says, let me tell you of a God-given dream I had about the triune baptism. He says, it was not a vision, but a dream. He says, you know, I'm sure that one of the blessings of the church ages was to receive dreams by the Holy Ghost, just the same as one can receive visions. He says, it was about 3 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I'd just gotten up to get Joseph a drink of water. So when I lay down, I fell asleep again instantly, and I dreamed this dream. Now I want you to watch the dream that he dreamed. He said, I saw a man that I supposed was my father. He was a great big burly man. I also saw a woman that I was supposed to be my mother, but she didn't look like her, even as the man did not look like my father. So he's identifying them as his father and mother in type. He knows that's not who they really are, but there's a connection there. He notices it in the dream. He says, this man was very mean to his wife. He had a large club with three corners on it. He says, you know, when you take a log and you set it on the end, you hit it with an axe, it makes a three-cornered wedge like a piece of fire. We're talking about splitting wood. Amen. So it's got three sides of this piece of wood. He said it was like that. And he would take this club and hit her with it and knock her down. And she would lie there crying. He would walk around with his chest stuck out and on his face such a proud, boastful look that he appeared to take great pride and satisfaction in beating up a poor little woman. Every time she tried to get up, he would hit her. Now, Brother Bram says this, he said, I did not like what he was doing. Amen. But as I considered stopping him, I thought, I can't tackle that man. He's too big. Then he's supposed to be my father. But I knew on the inside he wasn't my father. I knew that no man had a right to treat a woman like that. Now, we can stop there. There's some people in the message that don't even know that. Man, they're still beating their wives. I'm thinking, man, well, where are you at with your revelation here? Brother Bram said, no man has a right to treat a woman like that. I went over and I grabbed him by the collar and I turned him around and said, you have no right to strike her. And he said, and when I said that, my muscles grew and I looked like a giant.
Right.
The man saw them and then he was scared of me.
Man.
And now he was kind of scared of this guy at first, but when he took the initiative and he grabbed this man, suddenly muscles grew on him, and now the man is scared of him. He said, you strike her again and you'll deal with me. He hesitated to strike her again, and then the dream left me. Now that's about how bold he is. He wasn't even going to fight Brother Bram. Once he saw the problem, he just done. Is that right?
Yes.
He's a bluff. Is that right? I woke immediately after the dream. And I thought, how strange that was. I wondered why I had dreamed about that woman when suddenly there he came. I love it when he comes. He says, and the presence of God became known to me, and the interpretation of the dream came from him. And he goes, just for the sake of time, I'm going to skip down here because he talks about interpretation and stuff like that in his life. But he says this. He says, the woman represents the church of the world today. I was born right into this mess, the mess that she is in. She was supposed to be a kind of mother. She is the mother of harlots. Her husband is the denominations that rule her. The three-corner block is the false triune baptism unto a Trinity. And every time she started, now I want you to watch this. Every time she started to rise up, now he explains it. He says, that means the congregations began to accept the truth. So her rising up is congregations, individual congregations begin to accept the truth. When congregations rise up, he says, he would drive her right down again with that false doctrine. He was so big that I was afraid of him at first. But when I came against him, I found that I had great and powerful muscles. They were faith muscles. The outcome of the dream was that since God is with, now think about this. Since God is with me and can give me such strength, then let me stand up for her against the denominational power of the world and make him quit striking her.
Amen.
Now, I was talking to a church here a while back about the sovereignty of the local church, and that's a whole other sermon, but Brother Bram says we believe in that. Is that right? We believe in the sovereignty of the local church, and what I want you to realize is that's for your good. Amen. When you look at churches and they come under the umbrella of denomination, it's a uniting sign in time. They think they're going to be stronger that way. They think they're better off that way. But really, it's bondage. Amen. They lose their ability to rise up. Because when Revelation comes and they say, well, we're going to put a comma here, denominations. No, we put a period there. We don't believe that. The days of miracles is past. We baptize this way. There's nothing for you to learn. And what it does, it robs you of your voice. Amen. It robs you of the ability to rise up above your circumstances. Amen. And it's a deceiving thing because it looks like strength, but in fact, it's weakness. Amen.
Yes.
I preached at a church here. I'll just give you the testimony. But I preached at a church here. My dad used to go there. A bunch of people used to go there. Nobody has. But I preached at this church. It was a denominational church, and the pastor retired, and they were trying to fill in. They just take whoever come up. Somebody found out about me, and so they asked me to preach at this church. And I don't know if I've ever shared the testimony of this, but they asked me to preach at this church, and I'd been there one other time to visit. And it was man, I tell you what, you could have heard a pin drop in there. The guy would sit there and he'd lecture and this and that. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, this is going to be a challenge. So I was getting ready for my own service after they asked me. I said, Lord, I pray you just come and just shake them people up. Just show them something they've never seen before in their lives. I mean, these people need revival.
Yeah, sure.
And so I prayed about it, and I got there, and they had done an adult Sunday school. There was actually a woman that taught, but they're doing adult Sunday school, and they were teaching on the different Hebrew words for praise. And she was finished. And she was finishing her She was on the final one, and there's seven Hebrew words for praise. Actually, this is a whole other sermon I could preach. Actually, it's really good. It's really good. But it was interesting to me because the two that she finished were Hallel and Shabbat. And if you know anything about the Hebrew words for praise, Hallel, it's kind of where we get a word like hilarious. It's an exciting praise. It's where you run the aisles and you hang on the chandeliers and you run the pews and you kick chairs over and you cry and you shout. Shabbat is to praise God with a loud voice. And she used the example. She said, if you were to go to a ball game and your team would score a touchdown or they'd hit a home run, you would shabak with a loud voice, show your appreciation, your happiness about it. And it's astounding because now she goes to this church. All these people go there. She said, you know, people go to a game and they'll get excited and they'll lift their voice, but we don't seem to do it in church ever. I thought, boy, oh boy, God, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. This is autopilot preaching here. I tell you what. So I got there and said, I just want to say before I begin this morning, I said, I want to say I really appreciate what the sister had to say about Hallel and Shabbat. I believe that, and I'm going to preach it today, and we're going to believe it with me. And I began to have church. I'm going to preach about the moving of the Holy Ghost in the church. And I tell you what, I'd never seen these people. They were saying amen. My wife was there with me. She'd tell you they were saying amen. They were praising the Lord, and they were Shabbat and Hallel, and they were lifting up their voice. I thought the walls were going to fall over. They weren't used to that much noise in the building. Now here you got about a third to half of the people saying amen. And I'd encourage them, you can say amen. It's all right. They'd say amen. They'd say hallelujah. And I got about another third of the people sitting there like a deer in the headlights, wondering what has happened. What's going on? The one guy that he was in charge of the officiating, there's two guys that were doing this, and the one invited me and he was gone, and the other guy, he was kind of in charge. He just sat on the front pew, kind of looking like this. What did we do? Who have we invited here? What's going on? But I tell you what, we had church that day. Amen. And this is a denominational church. They didn't know nothing about the message. They didn't know nothing about this, but they heard something that was real. And I got done. I tell you what, they come up, brother, that was so great. Can you come? Could you come in here and make this your home church? Would you consider being the pastor here? Would you this and that? I'm like, well, you know, none of that's up to me. You know, well, you ought to come back again. You should just stay here. And I say all this because now when I think about this, that these people were starving for something. They loved what they had to hear. It wasn't me. It was the word that I preached. But yet they loved what they had to hear. And yet about 2 weeks later, the board finalized their choice for a pastor. It's some 80-year-old man with 100 different degrees, and he's a lecturer. It's night and day from what I said. And that church has shrunk. People have left that church since then. He doesn't believe in the power of God. He doesn't believe in a millennium. He doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't believe in any of these things. But yet the people now watch, they had to leave because there's no power in their congregation to say, well, we don't want that. We don't want to hear that priest. We don't accept that. We don't like what he has to say. They didn't even vote for the man. And so you see the power of denomination has hindered them from being blessed. Amen. It's that club. Is that right? This is what the prophet dealt with. But when the prophet realized, now I want you to think about this. When the prophet realized there was strength, amen, he didn't, like, it's like me with this situation. I looked at it and said, what can I do? Well, I can't do anything, but if I would just stand for the word, God can give you faith muscles. You can overcome the enemy. Is that right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is a story I tell about my daddy. My daddy's not here, so I can tell this story. Maybe I've told it before, but give you another story here real quick. I'm just telling stories, and I hope that's all right. I'm going to bring it back around here in a minute. But my daddy, he told me a story when I was a young man. He said he was here in Defiance. He grew up here in Defiance, and he was driving down the street one day in his truck with a friend of his, and he said he pulled up to a stoplight. And he said, while he was there, now I want you to think about this woman we talked about tonight, Brother Bram saw in the dream. While he was at the stoplight, an older couple come out of the bar. He said that the man was drunk and he was beating his wife. And he would just hit her and trash talk and smack her around. My daddy threw the truck in park. Amen. He told his friend, watch my truck till I get back. And he got out of the truck and he proceeded to thrash this man, for lack of a better way of putting it. He went and cleaned his clock. Amen. Because my dad was like, Brother Branham, you know, he's seen this woman in trouble, said, you got no right to hit her. So he went out and he went and waylaid this guy. I tell you what. Well, the police showed up. And the police showed up and they asked what was going on. My dad explained why he did what he did. And the man, of course, denied it. So they asked the wife of the man, why did this man come attack your husband? She said, officer, I don't know why. Now, as a young boy, my dad's telling this story. And I was real proud of my dad up till that point, sticking up for her. But when he told me that, I was confused. And I had to think about it for a few minutes. And I finally asked Dad, I said, Dad, will you tell me why did she do that? Is that woman, you stuck up for her. Why didn't she stick up for you? Why did she tell the truth? My dad said this, and I'll never forget it to this day. And I remember it to this day. He told me this. He said, because he knew that when she went home that night, she was going home with him.
Right.
She didn't want to make him mad. She knew what was going to happen if she tried to rat him. And that's where people are at today. Yeah. So many people, these people, look, they don't know. Is that right? These people, they're bound by their circumstance like this woman. And in their minds, like this woman, they think, this is all I'm ever going to have. And things can never change. So I just have to accept my situation. If somebody comes and tries to deliver me, I have to turn it down because I know at the end of the day, I'm still bound. People think they're bound, but listen, Jesus has come. The prophets come with a message, not just to save you from the instance that you're in now, not just to help you right now, but to say, you don't have to go back home with that first husband. You don't have to live under denomination anymore. You don't have to live under bondage. Is that right? When Moses rose up and he scattered these shepherds away, Moses was there to stay. Is that right? He found a place in the house of Jethro. He found a place that these women could look to him and say, this man will defend us. Is that right? You don't have to be afraid tonight of going home from church and the devil's waiting for you at home because you got victory at church tonight, and say, well, I hope the devil don't get mad because I got deliverance. I hope the devil don't get mad because I got revival. I hope the devil don't come after me. You don't have to be afraid of that because you're not going home with the devil tonight. You've got a new husband. You've got a kinsman redeemer, and he's taking you home tonight. He's the one that delivered you. He's the one that set you free. He's the one that drove out the devil, and he's the one that's going to keep you when you go home from this service tonight. Now the devil will come and say, well, you know, you got to have this waiting for you at home. You're going to have this waiting for you at home. You got bills. You got troubles. You got arguments. You've got Jesus Christ waiting for you at home. And if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's still going to be with you. He's leading you what? In a path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen.
Amen. My, my. Brother Bram says this, the eagle stirreth up her nest. He makes a statement. He says, look, I've wondered. He says, here sits one healed. Here's another one not. They linger on and on. Here's another one, and here's another one. He says, there's something wrong somewhere. He's talking about people getting healed. He says, one person will get healed, one person just goes on and on and on, and something, nothing ever happens, he's saying. He says, now, this is what the prophet said. He said, there's something wrong somewhere. I think it's this. It's a complex that people build up, especially people who's been sick a while. He says, now, and he says, now, you'll resent this when I tell you it, but it's true. So if you're getting mad at me right now, the prophet said, you'll resent it when you hear it, but it's true. He says, you take a child that's been petted. That child becomes to a place till it just wants to be petted. It builds up a complex. You can't do nothing with that child till you shake him right good. You got quiet on me now. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a time when a person gets sick to become self-pitied.
Yeah, hit it.
Oh, I'm in such a condition. He says, I've prayed for people, and they say, well, I don't believe I feel any better.
Oh, my.
He says, well, you'll never feel any better like that.
That's right.
He says, that's not it. If that's your attitude, don't even approach him at all, because it's not right in his sight.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He says, don't have a complex, but come with a burly, robust faith. It's a settled thing. God said so, and that settles it right now. Amen. You say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. You do if you just stand up and believe.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't have those kind of muscles. Take God at his word one time and stand toe-to-toe with the devil and see if you don't grow some faith muscles. Amen.
Amen.
I astound me. People say, well, I just don't have any faith. I'm thinking, what kind of a message have you listened to for 30 years? If it's supposed to just produce rapturing faith and you can't cure a toothache, something's not lining up. Now, I believe God.
Amen.
I believe faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So something's wrong somewhere and it's not God.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. He said, there's a sister I usually pray for, Mrs. Rooks, sitting here. I always liked the approach of Sister Rooks. She was healed, dying with a cancer down here at the high school the night I had the service. That startled a few doctors. Well, praise the Lord for that. He still startles doctors today. But she was healed. Well, she come here to me along with something else wrong with her. She just come and said, Brother Branham, just pray for me. Went up, prayed for her. They said they'd be, oh, she said, it's settled. It's all over. They prayed for me and that settles
it.
It. That's all. Brother Man says, now that's what I'm talking about. Not with saying, well, let's see. No, I don't believe I feel any better. He says, oh, mercy, don't come like that. It's finished. When God's word is obeyed, it's finished. Just set your hold like that eagle. Let the wind shake. Just hold right there. It's finished. You know what I mean? He says, a complex self-pity.
That's it.
You're in a pitiful condition then. That's really true. When you get to pitying yourself, you want everybody to pity you. And you pity yourself. You say, well, that couldn't happen to me. Well, happened to Brother Branham.
Sure.
Say, how do you know that? The next sentence says so. He says, I hit that spot one time.
Sure.
Well, I guess we're not immune because we're not prophets. Oh my. I hit that spot one time, sitting right there on the porch with the breakdown. You're staying 8 days in the meeting without coming out for food or anything or sleep. I just stayed right at the platform praying for the sick. I got to a place and said, oh, I just can't feel any better. He says, but one day I heard a scream, and I heard it in a little book called Christian Confession by F.F. Bosworth, that Christians, they confess not what they see, but what they believe. Amen. Don't make any difference what you're looking at. We don't see by our sight. Amen. We see by our faith. Amen. Amen. Now, for you to say, well, I could never get in a condition where I self-pity and I have a complex. Well, the prophet had it happen to him. Is that right? Amen. Well, we're not immune to that as believers. Amen. That doesn't inherently give you meaning to it. Amen. You have to have the right confession. You have to overcome still. Is that right? If the prophet had to have the right kind of confession, and he had to have the right mental attitude, and he had to overcome, so do you. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this, because going back to Moses, like, Moses happened. Moses. Is that right? Brother Bram said the same thing happened to me that happened to Moses. He got a complex because the people rejected his message.
That's right.
Amen. I want you to think about Moses, and this is why I bring this up tonight. Moses, this mighty man, he'd had some setbacks, but he was a mighty man, and he was called to be a prophet, called to be a deliverer. But the prophet tells us he had some complexes. Is that right? And what I want you to realize tonight is that Moses didn't build them complexes overnight.
Right.
I mean, he had 40 years to build his complex and to add some layers and to put some spackling on there and build things up. And by the time 40 years, by the time he was 80 years old, he had every excuse rehearsed to himself. He had plenty of time to tell himself, woe is me, look how bad I have it. And when he met that burning bush and he began to make excuses for why he couldn't serve God, look, he wasn't doing that off the cuff. He practiced that many times to himself. He told himself for years, well, this is why I didn't work out. I'm a bad speaker. I got a bad temper. I got this. I got that. I can't do this. I can't do that. When he got to the burning bush, he had his list ready. God, I've been waiting. This is why I can't serve God. I've got complexes on top of complexes. My complexes have complexes. I feel so bad for myself. I want everybody else to feel bad for me because I can't feel bad enough for myself. I believe me, I tried. Self-pity and complexes. He felt bad. He built this giant complex up to where there was no way I can go back to Egypt. There's no way I can serve God. God said, well, I got one reason you can, because I said so.
Amen.
Well,
that's it.
I got more excuses. I don't care. Got to the point, it's like, you know what? I'm kind of getting angry with your excuses. Listen now, Moses, I don't care about your feelings.
Right.
Well, but God, they were mean to me. I don't care.
That's right.
Well, they call me names. I still don't care.
That's right.
Well, they didn't shake my hand. They kicked me out. Look, did I ever tell you I cared about any of that? I already told you you're going. Now, it's either I'm right or I'm wrong. Now, which one do you think it is? You're going to go whether you like it or not.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I mean, if God says I have to go, I guess I have to try. look, Moses, I'm going to make it easy for you. Just leave your shoes off. I'll go. You just walk down there and I'll go. Look, I've heard the cries of these people. I've heard your belly aching. I've heard your whining. I've heard your complex. I've heard why you can't do this. But I've heard the cry of my people.
Oh my, yes, Lord.
And I've heard their cries in bitter bondage. Amen. And I can't ignore their cries because you want to have a pity party. Because you want to have a complex. So you're going to go down there anyway. I'm going to go down there with you. I would come down to this people and I'm going to deliver them, Moses.
Hallelujah.
I want you to think about this now. Amen. God's purpose in Moses was greater than Moses' excuses.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord.
Brother Ram says this. He says Moses' hand in his hand was nothing but a stick he'd picked up perhaps in the desert. But once when the hand of faith,
hallelujah,
taking a hold of that stick, it become God's judgment rod to the world.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That dry stick. Man, that thing you've been dragging around, well, that's why I can't serve God. I don't have a scepter, I just have a dry stick. Well, things didn't work out for me. Things didn't work out the way I planned. Look, I have to be a shepherd. That same dry stick that you've been having a complex about, God took it and made the judgment rod of the world.
Amen.
He said, remember, Moses stretched that rod. He stretched that rod over the sea. He stretched it here. It was God's judgment rod. He says this. He says those Egyptians could have ever got that rod from Moses. They'd have had the Israelites whipped. He says, and that's what it takes today. As the rod was in Moses' hand, so is the name of Jesus Christ in the church hand. If the church will hold that name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now look, not just hold it, but with a hand of faith, if they will hold that name of Jesus and esteem it.
Hallelujah.
Look, it's not a slang word. It's not a curse word. Not something you throw out there talking to the buddies about your favorite race car or this or that. If you'll take the name and esteem it and honor it and quit using it as slang and so forth and use it in power and reverence, it will conquer every enemy that God's got on the earth in my name. They shall cast out devils. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick. All these things in his name.
Amen.
Tonight we're talking about in his, for his name's sake. Amen. He leads you in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. When Moses was crying and bellyaching, God said, I have a greater purpose for my own name's sake. I'm going to ignore everything Moses had to say. I'm going to go down there and do it anyway. Because I have a purpose, I have a plan, and in my name I'm going to deliver this people. They will know that I am is still the same. They're going to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That rod has not lost power. Our God is not diminished. His arm's not waxed short that it cannot save. His ear's not grown heavy that it cannot hear. He's still the same. He's still mighty to save. And we're more.
Hallelujah, Father.
You say, I'm nothing. I'm like Moses. I'm a nobody. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
People today, they'll pray and they'll take the name of Jesus. You look at churches and they'll wave his name around like a magic wand. In the name of Jesus. They'll do all this hokey balokey stuff. I'm like, you got no idea. Seven sons of Sceva one time said, well, we adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. No, it's more than just a name that Paul preached. It's the person of eternal life. There's a power. There's a reverence. You know that you know that you know you met the God of that stick on the burning sands. You met the God of that name. Amen. It's the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. It's more than just an idea. It's more than magic words. There's a person. And you're identified with his power and his authority. It's been given to you as a judgment rod.
Amen.
To evict the devil from your house. To evict the devil from your life. To evict the devil from your finances, from your health, from your church. Amen. Amen. You've got a judgment rod. And the devil would love nothing more.
Amen.
Amen. Look, he don't have to get the stick away from you. He just has to make you lose confidence in it. You can take that same stick and beat that rock and do them things, but without the reverence and the power and the esteem behind it, amen, that's where it loses its power.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When the Apostle Peter came up the Gate Beautiful, he raised a man up in that name. And the people, they beheld him. They thought, man, what kind of magic is this? What kind of this and that? Yep. It's not my power.
That's right.
It's not my holiness. It's his name through faith in his name.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, not just the name, but faith in his name made this man whole. Yea, the faith which is by him.
Yes, Lord.
His faith in his own name, in you.
Amen.
His faith through you in his own name made this man whole. And man, it's more than so many people, they invoke the name of Jesus. But look, it's your inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
That's what makes it different. It's not just words to you. The Bible says that God has given him an inheritance that he didn't give to the angels. Hebrews chapter 2. He's given him a name above every other name. That's his inheritance. In other words, he has rights to that name. Many people can say the name of Jesus, but Jesus has rights to that name. And look, you are a joint heir with Christ. Amen. If that's his inheritance, then it's your inheritance. Why? That's why the Bible says that every member of the family of heaven, in heaven and earth, is named after him. Amen. Look, you're not just another person. You're not just Alexander Margulis or James Cromwell. You're Mrs. Jesus Christ. I mean, you've got a right. Look, when if I take Brother James' checkbook and I sign my name on it and hand out checks, look, they don't have to honor that. That's not the name on the account, amen? But look, you've got rights to this account because your name's on the account because you're married to him, amen? I mean, you're not presuming. You know, so many people take that and say, well, this person got prayed for, this and that and this and that. Look, we are heirs of God. We're not presuming like the world. We're not presuming when we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. There's a power and a reverence because we've come under the submission to the Word.
Amen.
Amen. We've entered into an invisible union. Is that right? My, my.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now look, now Peter's a man that could have had complexes.
Sure.
Well, I'm not educated. I deny the Lord. I this, I that. I chopped a man's ear off. I this or that. But look, when it come down to it, that didn't matter to Gate Beautiful one bit. Men, you think your complexes stop God. And they do because you think they do. You think self-pity stops God, and that's why it does. But if you ever realize, look, I can't get over this complex. I got this problem, I got this problem. It doesn't stop it, amen. We think, well, if I could just get rid of these problems in my life, I could be an overcomer. No, go be an overcomer and the problems will disappear. Amen. You weren't promised not to have trials. Amen. Believers were not promised trial-free living. Amen. That's not part of the deal. Amen. But you were promised power to overcome when you don't have the power.
Thank the Lord.
The Bible says in Psalm 103, I took this down. I was reading this again. I just want to read it tonight as part of this tonight. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. So I got complex, I got this, I got that. All that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Well, but I did this. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You say, well, I've got complex. I got this. I got that. Take the name of Jesus.
Right.
Take that judgment rod. God executes judgment for the oppressed. If you're oppressed tonight, guess what? God's here to execute judgment on your behalf.
Amen.
Look, he didn't say execute judgment on the oppressed. He says for the oppressed. He's come to deliver the oppressed. Is that right?
Amen.
You say, I'm oppressed tonight. Praise God. The rod is here. Just take the rod and say, God, you promised you'd execute judgment on my behalf. You're not going to execute judgment for the devil's side, but for me. Is that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
He made known his ways unto Moses, is what we're talking about tonight. Is that right? His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not. Now, I love this. Maybe this means more to me than you, but he says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins.
Amen, amen.
Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I can look at all these reasons why. This is why God shouldn't, and this is why God can't, and this is why God shouldn't do this, and he can't do that. But he said, I've not rewarded you according to your iniquities. They're not considered in the rewarding. They're not considered in the whole scheme of things. He's not rewarded us according to our sins. You say, well, I did this, I did that. It's just God. No, God has judged your sin. He's not ordained us to wrath. He's ordained us to salvation. Is that right? Your sins were nailed to a cross with Jesus Christ at Calvary. You don't have to pay for them anymore. Because the devil will come and give you a complex. And he'll come and have you build self-pity and say, well, I'm just paying and I'm reaping and I'm reaping what I sowed and sowed and sowed. And the devil will have you reap stuff you never sowed. Before you know it, you'll be reaping for the rest of your life stuff that God never intended for you to reap. And the devil will say, well, that's because you reap that. That's because what you deserve. God has not rewarded us according to our sins. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Amen. Stop reaping what the devil's planted in his field. Go reap what God planted for you.
Jesus, praise God.
You see, so many people, they live under condemnation because, well, this happened to me years ago and this and that, and I'm just having to deal with it. God has not come to reward you according to that.
Amen.
You say, but I this and I that. It has nothing to do with you.
That's right.
He's not leading you in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. He's not having goodness and mercy follow you for your sake. He's doing it for his sake.
Amen.
Same reason he sent Moses down. He wasn't doing it because he had to prop up Moses to make Moses feel good. He's doing it for his sake.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
When you realize, so many times we feel defeated, we feel discouraged because we misunderstand the purpose of God. We think our purpose is God's purpose. And many times our purpose has nothing to do with God's purpose. Romans 8:28 says that God, is that right? All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So we think sometimes when things don't go the way we plan, when things don't go according to our purpose, we say, well, I must be out of the will of God. No, are you in His purpose? And we make so many times when our plans fall apart and our purpose doesn't work out, we think, well, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God this, maybe God that. Don't mistake your purpose for God's purpose. Amen. Because the devil will use that to discourage you. Is that right? Like I said, God was going to deliver these Egyptians, not because it was Moses' purpose, because it was God's purpose. He was going to do it for His own namesake. Moses' excuses were not a good enough reason. Thank God. They were not a good enough reason to leave the people in bondage. Now you think about this. Moses was so bound in his complex of self-pity and his complex of failure that it didn't occur to him, if I don't do this, these people stay in bondage. We get so caught up in our own complex, in our own short-sightedness, that we forget there's people suffering. There's people in need. God has a purpose greater than us. And we're so worried about us, we fail to see the purpose of God in others. And before you know it, the devil's got you in a place where you can't do nothing for nobody. You can't even take care of yourself. God didn't ordain you to be that way. That's why He did not reward you according to your iniquities. Because He has a purpose that's greater than yourself.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. My, my.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Brother Branham, he preaches a sermon called God Being Misunderstood. I'm not going to go into a whole lot tonight, but he preaches a sermon, God Being Misunderstood. He takes his text here out of Psalm 106. He says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked them at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, amen. Before I read this, Brother Bram makes the point in this sermon. It wasn't they misunderstood God like they didn't hear Him.
Right.
They misunderstood what His intention was.
Right. Yes.
They misunderstood His purpose.
Sure. Yeah.
God did all these great things, and it said they didn't understand the wonders. They did not remember the multitude of His mercies. They provoked God.
That's right.
They made a golden calf and did all this. But it says, nevertheless. Some of us are nevertheless, amen? When we didn't want to serve God, we didn't want to know anything about God. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake.
Amen.
That He might make His mighty power known. Now I want you to think about Moses tonight, going back to Moses. I love Moses. He's great. He's great. Moses is a tremendous character. Moses, here he is in Egypt, standing up to Pharaoh, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let my people go. A man that is inadequate.
Sure. Right.
A man that's bound with complexes. Man, he don't want to be there. He woke up Monday morning, had to go into work. Said, man, I don't want to go today. But I ain't got no sick time left. I gotta go. I'm gonna lose my job. So he goes up to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. I don't know how enthusiastic he was about it, but he goes and does his job. And he strikes the river and he washes it turn to blood.
Right.
And he begins to tell Pharaoh over and over again, let God's people go. And Pharaoh decides, well, we'll kind of haggle. And he's like, no, I'm not allowed to do that. Not allowed to do that. Let my people go.
Right.
And Moses begins to see lice come up out of the ground. He begins to see flies and frogs. And he begins to see hail fall from the sky as fire. And he begins to see darkness come over the land, except in Goshen. And he watches as the angel of death passes through the streets. And the only thing that's spared are the people that listen to his voice. And he sees time after time, God is now bearing witness that there's a call in his life. He didn't want to accept the call, but nevertheless, there was a call there. And he, as he's watching God tear apart Egypt piece by piece, God is tearing apart the complex in his life piece by piece. Yes, you are a deliverer. Yes, you are called to this. Yes, I have ordained you for this. And your past doesn't get in the way. Your failure doesn't get in the way. Your inability doesn't get in the way. And as God is deconstructing Egypt, he's deconstructing the complex in Moses' life. Amen. We had meetings with Brother Ron Spencer here a few weeks back, and we had powerful service the one Saturday night especially. And Brother Ron was just talking about how much it meant to him. And I thought, you know, it's a thing as a minister. I just share this. You know, you start out as a young minister and people say, well, you know, you don't have enough experience. You're not good enough. You're not just like Moses. You can't do it. You're not qualified. You're not capable. You're not smart enough. You're not learned enough. And you begin to go out and you begin to preach. You're going to do the will of God anyway, despite your reservations and your complexes. And after a while, you get to a point, you get a little bit older. And now the devil's saying, well, you're past your prime. You're washed up. Your best years are behind you. And I'm thinking to myself, when was I ever good? I went from being not capable enough to overqualified and old. And I need to get out of it. Where was the sweet spot in there? Is that right? You take an older minister and you think, well, this guy's over complexes. No, he's getting complexes all the time. Well, you're done. Your best days are behind you. You're washed up. You take a young man that wants to serve God or a young woman or whatever and they'll say, well, you're not capable. You're not qualified. Look, it doesn't matter how many years you go on. That doesn't make you immune to a complex. Amen. But when you can see the hand of God, like Moses has seen it, amen, there's power in that to say, you know what? God is greater than my complex. Amen. He's greater than my inability. He's greater than my age or my lack of experience, my over experience or whatever excuse you have. God is greater than your excuse.
Amen.
Moses is seeing thing after thing happen. We read this scripture here. There come to a time. I'm getting ready to close with this here, I think. But yeah, doing good. And it gets to a point. Comes out in the wilderness and God takes him up on Mount Sinai and he watches God who has lifted him this whole time. He watches God carve the commandments with his own finger on Mount Sinai, and he's doing this and he begins to hear lamenting and or he begins to hear revelry and things down there in the valley below, and he goes down and he sees what's going on, and Moses in his anger, he breaks the law and he calls for the sons of Levi and he does these different things. And God comes to a place. Now I want you to think about this. God gets to a place with this people that Moses didn't want to go deliver. God gets to a place with this people where he says, Moses, okay, I'm done with these people. I want you to move aside, Moses. My wrath has waxed hot. I'm going to wipe out these people. And Moses, I'm going to take you and I'm going to raise up a family. I'm going to raise up people after you, Moses. And it was at this moment, I want you to think about this tonight. It was at this juncture in Moses' life. Moses, a man riddled by complexes and self-doubt and self-loathing. At this point, something comes up, amen. When Christ in Moses begins to rise, God makes him an offer. I'll raise up a people for your namesake. And it's at that moment that Christ in Moses, he can stand up and realize it was never about Moses at all. It was never about me. He says, no, God, don't do it. Remember these people for thy name's sake. God, you raised the people. You brought them out of Egypt. But if you would destroy them now, God, the people need to say, God wasn't able to deliver the people. God was not able to take care of this people. Moses, standing up, saying, God, not for my sake. Lord, if you won't spare them, take my name out of your book.
Amen.
It's not about Moses. And Moses, a man that couldn't see past his own nose. Now Christ and Moses says, you know what? God, for your name's sake,
amen.
Everything that's been done. And Moses realizes this whole time he's just been an instrument in the hands of God. When the people so glorified him in years and centuries afterwards, they would glorify him. And he had to wear a veil over his face because of the glory that shone upon his face. But Moses... Moses in his heart, the Bible says he was the meekest man on the face of it. Moses realized, God, you can't wipe these people out. I didn't bring them out here for me.
That's it.
You brought them out here for you.
Yeah.
And it's at this moment that God, it's at this moment that Moses realizes that the purpose of God in him is greater than him.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes,
God, if you do this, you'll say you couldn't keep your promise to Abraham. They'll say, God wasn't able to deliver this people. God, nevertheless, for thy name's sake, have mercy on these people.
Yes.
Look, they didn't do one thing to deserve the mercy they got. But God showed mercy anyway, for their name's sake. And when you think you've sinned away your day of grace, and you think you've done too much to make God happy again, and this and that, just remember, God raised you up for his name's sake. What a testimony it would be for you to come as far and then for God just to let you fall off at the end.
Thank you,
Jesus. No. God said, I'm going to begin the work and I'm going to finish the work because I'm doing it for me.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And Moses said, I'm all right with that. And the believers say, amen, I'm all right with that. It was never about me. I can see the hand of God in my life. I can see His goodness. I can see His mercy. And I've come to a point in my life I realize, you know what? It was never about me in the first place. Amen. Well, praise God. That was all right.
Amen.
In a day and age where everybody's fixated with themselves and they're so self-absorbed, they're trying to be something. I'm not trying to be anything. I just want to yield to God. And God, I just want to say, God, it's Your purpose in me.
Oh, Jesus.
However I can get out of the way that God's purpose can be fulfilled, God, let it be.
Hallelujah, Father.
Praise Hallelujah. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask, ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. Now, God don't answer prayers for you. He answers them for Himself. It's true. He said, I'll answer your prayer that the Father would be glorified in the Son.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
I really disappoint some people. I'm thinking, praise God.
Amen.
I'm all right with that. It means He's got to do it anyway.
Right.
Whether I was good or bad today, He's got to do it anyway. Amen. Whether I'm qualified or not, He's got to do it anyway because it's His glory.
Amen.
He's not doing it for me. He's doing it for Himself.
Amen.
I tell you what now, this works with human beings. You know they're going to do something if it's for their own sake. Amen. Skin for skin. The devil knows that. He says, man will save himself his own flesh. Is that right?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, praise the Lord. Moses, who once had lost his feeling with the people, he come to a point that he could stay the wrath of God because it was God's purpose in Moses. Amen. When you pray, you're not asking for you. You think you are, but you're asking for His namesake. Now, if you can understand that and really have a revelation of that, then you don't have to waver when you pray. Because if you waver, the Bible says, you'll think you'll receive anything. We ask for something, we begin to waver. Well, does God want me to have it? Does God want to answer my prayer? Well, does He want to be glorified?
Yeah.
Well, He said ask. He didn't say if you want to ask. You know, He said ask.
Amen.
He's telling you to ask so He can be glorified. And in other words, get busy. Go pray. Because
right.
I need glorified. I need somebody to pray so I can do it.
Amen.
Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Sure.
Man, should make you want to pray.
Amen.
If you don't already.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Look, when you're praying, it's His purpose in you. That's why He commands that men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. Is that right? He commanded us to pray because He wants to be glorified. Look, that's why I said that takes all the pressure off you.
It
has nothing to do with your ability or your faith or your righteousness or one of these other 100 stupid reasons we have for not serving God on any given day of the week when we don't feel like it. Well, who cares? Well, I don't feel like it. I tell you what, I get these people at work. Well, I don't feel like this, and I don't care. Go do it. It's your job.
Right.
Look, we have a job. Is that right? I'm getting off the beaten path here a little bit, I guess. But it's you know when I believe He's still like Hattie Wright said.
Yes.
I believe He's still Jehovah Jireh. She said that's nothing but the truth.
Right.
Jehovah Jireh, He provided Abraham. When Abraham was on the mountain. Is that right? Abraham said, God shall provide for Himself a sacrifice.
Amen.
God required a sacrifice. God provided the sacrifice. Look, Abraham didn't provide the sacrifice. God didn't provide it for Abraham's sake. God provided it for His own sake.
Amen.
That's why He said, God shall provide for Himself a sacrifice. Amen. Somebody help me out here. God provides for Himself. Is that right? If you're the bone of His bone, the word of His word, spirit of His spirit, power of His power. If a man ought to love his wife as Christ loved the church, because no man ever hated his own flesh. He nurtures and cherishes his own flesh. If that's how Christ loved you, what does that make you? Amen. When He takes care of you, He's nourishing His own flesh. He's taking care of His own hands. You're His hands. You're His feet. You're His mouthpiece. He's not doing it just for you because you came from a certain family or because you were good enough or you're smart enough. He's doing it because He lives in you and you're His own flesh. And for Him not to take care of you, God would have to be some sort of crazy masochist. Amen. He don't carve Himself up or starve Himself.
That's
right. I tell you what. One of the hardest things for me to deal with, traveling to minister, you get these big juicy burgers, they sit down in front of you after service. How do you say no? Well, you know, I don't want to gain too much. Man, I'm hungry. What are you talking about? Give me that burger. And then we don't naturally, as human beings, we don't naturally deprive ourselves. Amen? Why would we think God would do that? Why would we think God would say, well, this is my bride. This is my body. Well, I better work her over the ringer.
Come
Amen. Now, that's what the man with the club did. That's not what God does. Amen. God's not the man with the club. God's the guy that came to deliver you from the man with the club. Amen.
Amen.
My, my. I'll say this as I get ready to close here. We have the wrong idea sometimes to think about what an overcomer really is. We read the Bible and we read these stories and we think these guys, you know, if we're not careful, we forget to read the parts where we read about all the mistakes they made and all the trouble they had and all the doubts and complexes and reservations. And we think that somehow our prayers are less qualified. James tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions. Elijah's a man who wanted to die because he had to go preach and kill a bunch of prophets of Baal, and a woman chased after him, so he wanted to die. Now you think you're a sissy. I'm not trying to make fun of the prophet Elijah, but I'm just saying you think you got, oh man, I'm just all discombobulated. That's a good word. I'm all just disheveled and I'm a mess. I can't pray like this. No, that's the time to pray. Because Elijah was a man like passions, but yet he prayed earnestly, and it rained not by the space of 3.5 years, and he prayed again, and it rained.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
An overcomer is not this guy that's just got it all figured out. Yeah, I love the story Brother Ram tells. He tells a story about it's a woman, her husband's, he's at a bar with his friends. You all know the story. She's a her husband's at a bar and they're talking one night about Christians. And they're saying, well, there's no such thing as a real Christian nowadays. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. They can watch the news and they can read the newspaper and say, well, these people don't believe the Bible anymore than anybody else. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. But you know, one man there, he'd seen something real.
That's right.
He said, you know what? There's one real Christian, my wife.
That's right.
Now, if I'm not a woman, but if I was a woman, I wouldn't have that testimony. That, you know, if my husband didn't know anybody was a real Christian, I said, that's a real Christian. And he began to boast on his wife to his drinking buddies, like, I can't be. So they go, and as you know the story, they go and they test her out. And he goes in there, and really he's what they would call nowadays verbally abusive. I mean, you would have grounds for divorce nowadays, really. He's verbally abusive. He goes in with his buddies and says, this isn't how I like him cooked. He even accuses her of lying. He says, you know that's not how I like him cooked. So he's not just saying she did a bad job. He's implicating that she did it on purpose. Because he brought his friends over. And he slams it out and they walk out. Now, so this is a woman that's an overcomer. She didn't chase him outside of the house with a rolling pin.
Oh my.
She didn't say, now the Bible tells you not to act like that. You're a louse and you need to get right with God. She didn't hand him a tract. She didn't chew him out. She watched him walk out that door. She didn't know they were sitting under the window, snickering and laughing at her. She began to sing a song. Lest Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me.
Yes, Lord.
This consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free.
Yes, Father. Praise your name.
I want you to understand, she wasn't singing that song for them.
Right.
She wasn't doing a song special at church. That was her and the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
As far as she knew, she was alone.
Yes, Lord.
She probably felt more alone than maybe she had any other time in her life.
Right.
But she began to sing that song. And there was something real, that same thing that her husband had seen before. There was something real there. She didn't know who was watching. Amen. We don't always know who's watching. Sometimes we go through trials. We wonder why we go through things. We get frustrated. We get fed up. We wonder why. We don't always know who's watching. But somebody was watching she didn't know about. And the person that was watching ended up getting them saved. I want you to think about that. She wasn't trying to evangelize to them.
That's it.
I'm not saying not to do that. I'm not saying not to witness, but she wasn't trying to do anything. This is who she was as an overcomer. She'd been in this situation for years, but yet there was something in her that she could sing this song. I got a cross to bear. Shall I go free? Shall you go free? Am I free from trials because I'm a Christian? Something in her was real. She didn't know singing that song. She didn't know as she probably wept over the sink singing that song that the very thing she was doing 5 minutes later, they were going to be on the floor kneeling there as she led them to the Lord. She had no idea. But yet that night, she led them four men to the Lord. I love Brother Bram. He talks about it. He says, you see why? He says, just be real sweet. Shoo. Just be real sweet. He says, just remember, he knows all about it. Amen. Tonight, we think, and I can go over so many different examples, but like I said, we think of an overcomer as this Napoleon with his sword drawn on a gleaming white horse, and sometimes it's a Shamgar. Somebody's been worked over for years and years. But one day they get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they'll grab an ox goad. Look, when Shamgar got done, it wasn't a pretty sight for a fairy tale book. There's blood and viscera and everything all over him. And he looked around and he probably wondered what happened. He probably didn't even realize fully himself what he'd done. He'd overcome. Amen. It wasn't always pretty. It wasn't always easy, but he overcome. Hallelujah. We can overcome tonight. Look, your complexes, your mess, your problems, that doesn't have anything to do with it. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. It was a great thing to me. I had when the Lord showed me that He has a purpose. I have a friend. I grew up with him. This is my last thing. I grew up with this young man and hung him out with him for years, and I didn't have very many friends growing up. I'm sure that's hard to imagine. but he was one of my few friends, and when I became a Christian, he didn't want anything to do with me anymore. And I tried to be his friend. I tried not to push anything on, but I tried to be his friend, and he just didn't want anything to do with me. And I was talking to him the other day over the internet, and he was just telling me how he's completely lost his desire to live. He's got a little kid, and he says that's the only reason I got. He says, I've driven to work morning after morning, and I see a semi, and I just think how easy it would be just to swerve into that semi. And this is his thought constantly. His desire is to end his own life. He has no reason to live other than a little boy. That's the only thing holding him. And if something were to happen to that boy, what would happen to him? And he's lost his purpose. He has no purpose. He's acknowledged he has no purpose, and he has no desire to go on. And I think to myself, I was in that situation one time.
Yes, Lord.
I know what that's like.
Yes, Lord.
I know what it's like to say, why even go on living? It'd be so easy to end it all. I know what it's like to say there's no point. And I understand vanity of vanities. All is vanity, is that right? But I found something found me.
Yes, Lord.
And the thing that found me, listen, there's a purpose. I have an ambition. Brother Bram, I talked about ambition here a while back. I've got an ambition for the kingdom of God, my home and my life, and my church and my ministry. This purpose, it's greater than all these things.
Hallelujah.
And the purpose behind me is greater than me. And this is what I want you to catch tonight as I bring this to a close. When you realize that the purpose inside of you is greater than you, then your failure doesn't overcome it. Amen.
Right.
Your failure can't stop it. Your inability can't stop it. Because the purpose is greater than you. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Amen? Amen. If my ambition was my own greatness, then it would end with me. It would end when I go in the grave. It would end when I fail. Is that right? If you had some purpose to be a great celebrity or a great businessman or a great sports person, your greatness would be intact until the time you failed. Amen. You could only be as great as you could be, and that would end there. But I'm serving a kingdom. It was before I came on this earth. And if I should leave by way of the grave, it'll remain. The purpose is greater than me. That's why I can stand for it. Because I realize that the purpose behind me, the power behind me is greater than me. It cannot fail. I've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. It cannot be shaken. I'm a part of it. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. Amen. And I don't have to worry. My mistakes, my failures, my shortcomings, that doesn't stop this purpose. If my shortcomings should stop this kingdom, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But this kingdom is so much greater than me. It's so much greater than you. You can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. No one can stop it. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. This kingdom, it's an everlasting kingdom, and it shall endure forever.
Yes.
Whether you want to or not, you can't stop it, so you might as well hop on. You might as well write it and say, it's for me. I'm part of it. He's led me in a path not of sin and condemnation, but he's led me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. It's for his name's sake tonight.
Hallelujah.
We come here tonight, we didn't come here in a man's name. We come here in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To praise him and to worship him. We're here for his purpose.
Praise God.
And his purpose is so great in you, he won't let you stop it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He won't let it stop your prayer. He won't let it stop your overcoming. He's not going to let it stop your testimony. He's not going to ruin your home, ruin your life.
Hallelujah.
God will not allow your past to dictate who you are.
Amen.
The only thing God's looking at is who you were before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And what he thought of you there, you can't change that. You can't change the thought of God. You can't say, oh God, I don't deserve to be predestined. God, I've sinned too much. You can't change that thought. It's settled, amen, because it's the Word. His Word is settled forever. And if he saw you as an overcomer, you can't change it. The devil can't change it. God can't change it.
Amen.
That's who you are. It's who you always were. It's who you always shall be.
Amen.
And it's for his purpose. It's his name's sake. Let's just pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank
Hallelujah,
you tonight.
Jesus.
Lord, for a people that have been kept by the power of your word into salvation
Hallelujah,
tonight.
Jesus.
You made a promise, oh God, that there'd be a people in the last days, a glorious church without spot or blemish.
Jesus.
Your prophet said there's a bride on the earth that's predestinated not to fall, God. Tonight we're thankful to be a part of it, Lord, not because we put ourselves in there, but because you placed us there before the foundation of the world. You ordained.
Yes.
The Bible says you ordained that you might gather together and want all things into Christ for your sake, that you might be glorified. Ephesians chapter 1, for the purpose of your glory. Lord, this was never about us. It was always about you. It's even you in us, Lord. We're not here tonight as sinners saved by grace. We're not here tonight as members of a natural family, representing natural families. We're here tonight as attributes of God, cast down through the stream of time, but manifest in these last days for thy glory and for thy name's sake, O God. Lord, tonight we can stand against every opposition of the devil. We can tear down every stronghold and every complex and our pity party and our victimization of ourselves. We can throw it all aside tonight and we can stand as more than conquerors.
Yes, Lord.
Whether we're a housewife washing dishes singing to you, whether we're a Shamgar tonight, from the pulpit to the pew, there's overcomers here tonight. Lord, you promised for your name's sake. Lord, you promised for your name's sake you would lead us. Lord, you never did do it for us. Lord, we're not here tonight to think it's about us. Lord, let us never be so deceived as to think it's about us. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Lord, tonight we realize that it was your purpose for your name. And if such be the case, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Lord, you're the judge of all the earth. And you said for us that we're not guilty to go free. Lord, what shall we then say to these things? I'm persuaded tonight. I'm persuaded. There's no height or depth. There's no width or breadth. There's no devil, principality, power, angel. There's no man. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we can't separate ourselves if we wanted to. Lord, we're held in the very palm of your hand. You've embraced us into your bosom. Lord, tonight we're kept by the power of an endless life. For thy name's sake, oh God, get great glory in the meeting tonight and your people as they lift their hands in praise and they worship you as the shackles fall and the complexes crumble to the dust. Lord, may they realize that you are the great one in us tonight. It's your purpose and your will. Lord, we worship you tonight because of who you are, because of your greatness. We love you, Lord, tonight. Restore our hearts into your purpose, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing that song. I'm coming back to the heart of wood. worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. Lift him up tonight now. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. One more time now. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Amen. As he plays softly tonight, we bow our heads for a moment. There's many of us here tonight. We've allowed the enemy to make us discouraged. We've allowed the enemy to sidetrack us. We thought we were being humble. We thought we were being realistic. But tonight we've realized we've just let the devil hinder God's purpose in us. I beseech you tonight, in the tender mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't let the devil drag you down anymore. God didn't ordain you for that. God didn't ordain you to reap that field that the devil planted. God didn't ordain for you to live in defeat. God didn't build that complex that you live in, but he's here to tear it down. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty to the tearing down of strongholds.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Quit expecting people to pity you tonight. Wanting everybody to pity you, pitying yourself. I don't want pity tonight. I want to serve God's purpose. I want to stand and raise my hands and say, God, have your way in my life. Lord, bypass all my trials. Bypass all the darkness and confusion, Lord. Meet me where I'm at and draw me out, oh God. You're brighter than my darkest night.
Yes.
You're stronger than my toughest fight. Lord, you're greater than all these things. Lord, I've come here maybe under pretense, maybe sometimes. Maybe want people to feel sorry for me. But tonight I want to come back to that heart of worship. Lord, I come here for you. No other will do, God. I come here for you tonight. Lord, forgive me if I've let things blind me to your purpose. I'm done, Lord. I want to be done living in defeat. I want to be done living in pity. I want to be that Christian like that sister. I don't want to feel sorry for myself. I'll bear this cross if I must, till death shall set me free. But I'm going to hold a testimony up. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to be that one that somebody can point to and say, that's a real Christian.
Amen.
That's a real Christian. That's not a hypocrite. That somebody knows something about the joy of the Lord. There's somebody knows something about the peace of the Lord. There's somebody knows something about the victory of the Lord. There's somebody that's got an overcoming testimony. There's somebody that prays and God hears their prayer. There's somebody that serves God when nobody's looking. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, tonight may you seize upon the souls of the people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, we want to make this about you. We want to build an altar of rededication tonight. Lord, this is your purpose. This is your plan. Lord, take our lives. Lord, if you do slay us, we'll trust you, oh God. Lord, just have your way in our lives. Have your way, we pray. Be glorified in our lives tonight, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, help your people now as we sing that again. Oh, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Oh, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. So it's all about you, Jesus. Free Lord, for the things I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, blessed God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you tonight. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. Sweetest of ways, He's waged war against the enemy.
Hallelujah.
I believe He's victorious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give me a seat, Dad. It's in Jesus. I found that blood that pardons. I found those stripes that heal.
That blood that pardons. I have found those stripes that heal. I have found strength for my weaknesses. I've found grace to cover all.
357.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yes, yes, in Jesus. It's in Jesus, He's the one. It's in Jesus, all in Jesus. It's in Jesus, He's the one. Rock of salvation, a firm foundation. It's in Jesus, He's the one.
Oh, Oh, we worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Blessed Lord.
Blessed be
Lamb
your holy name
God.
Tonight, Father.
Blessed be your name.
Your only source, Lord.
Oh, I praise
power,
you.
Only source
glory
of joy.
To the name of Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for calling us.
Holy name, dear
thank
Jesus.
You for bringing us to your name,
thank
Father.
Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise
hallelujah.
God.
One of the Holy Spirit's
God.
Here.
Hallelujah,
Dad played again
Jesus.
Softly just at the,
thank you,
the chorus
Jesus.
There real soft.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Just going to ask before we go tonight. Feel the power of God here. Believe it with all your heart. Is there a request in the house of God that you'd like to come for? Amen. And I just feel led to not ask you tonight. Brother, we're just... Hallelujah. Is there anyone else?
Jesus.
Believe with all your heart. Yes. Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Yes, Father.
I have found those stripes.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I see so many of these doctors today. They want to label people with all kinds of things. And Lord, if they had their way, they'd medicate all these kids. Lord, but we don't need that tonight. We've got a new wine.
Yes, Father.
Lord, there's a power that's in his life. Lord, I look at the situations that come through his life. He's just a normal boy, Lord God. There's nothing wrong with him. Lord, these doctors, Lord. Your prophet said that the doctors were confounded.
Oh, glory.
I believe you do that again tonight, Lord. I believe that was for our sister, Lord. I believe you still confound doctors, Lord. I believe they can come back and just apologize for being wrong and lying to my sister.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
The false diagnosis is trying to peddle drugs and push out and make money on her. We're not the stranger. We're the children of the King.
Amen.
Tonight, we pray you bless this young man. Lord, I believe that he's just fine. I believe that.
Yes, Father.
I believe you've given him a godly
Lord
home
Jesus,
to influence
him. Right to that
and there's no need for their craft or their medicine. Lord, there's a presence in this home that's
thank
just
you,
enough
Lord,
for him.
Father. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray you grant
thank
my sister
you,
the desire
Lord.
Of her heart.
Yes, Father.
I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, you've already done so much for him.
Yes, Lord.
And for her, Lord. For your name's sake. Lord.
Yes, Father. You glorify
Lord, I believe that if she would try to run away, Lord, your goodness and mercy are chasing her down. They follow her, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Let us not fret, but be of good cheer.
Yes, Lord, we glorify you.
We believe in you tonight, Lord.
Prayer,
thank you in
Lord.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, Father.
I
promised it.
In the name of Jesus Christ, these knees right now may they be made whole.
Yes, Father.
May they be straight in the name of Jesus Christ right now.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord.
Jehovah Rapha tonight.
Jesus Christ. Yes,
Lord. You are the God who my sister before, and you're the same God tonight. You brought her this far for your namesake, and surely you'll heal her once again for your name.
Thank you, for it, Lord.
It's in the name of Jesus Christ right now. I speak to this infirmity. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Sickness, go and don't return.
Thank you, Lord.
Body, be made whole right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He's the one.
He's the only one.
in praise now.
Jesus.
With all your heart, with all your life, we lift you up, Lord.
Oh, it's in Jesus. Oh, in Jesus. It's in Jesus. He's the one. Rock of salvation. A firm foundation. It's in Jesus. He's the one.
Let's give a hand clap of praise and worship tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
How many appreciates the Lord tonight? Amen. I believe He's heard our prayers. What a message, and I thank God for that. Remember, brother, sister, it's by grace are we saved through faith. Not of ourselves, but as a gift of God.
He
called us, ordained us, predestinated us. And the second we'll get out of our minds that we had anything to do with this, that's when you become victorious in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, he's worthy of praise. Somebody appreciates Brother Alexander coming tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, brother. Bless him and his family. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. The day after Christmas is we're going to go down to Indiana. Brother Alexander will be here for that Wednesday night. So you'll see him again in a few weeks. You going anywhere else, brother, recently or coming up that you know of?
Yeah. We'll be in Kentucky this weekend, and I'll be at Stevens Church the next weekend. Brother Samuel Browning's here a few weeks.
There you go. So if you remember Brother Alexander, keep him in prayer. God continue to use our brother.
Thank you.
Amen. That was glorious. Even as your pastor, I'll say that was for Brother Andrew just the same. What a deliverance, what a power the Word really has just in itself. I thank God for that. Amen. Have you been touched by the Word of God tonight?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Don't Hallelujah. Let the devil take back what God has given you tonight. Walk out of these doors giving God praise for it. Believe it with all your heart. Let it live out of your life today. Amen. Is God good to you?
Amen.
We'll sing that as we go. Be dismissed on this. God is so good.
Yes.
Amen. Let's sing that as we go. That's right, my brother. Amen. Yeah. No, it's going to be probably F, I guess.
God is so good. Oh, God is so good. Oh, God.
Answers prayer.
Oh, he answers.